One of my favorite passages from John 6, 1 through 15. I'd like to read this with you. This is a precious story of Jesus and the crowd, and I preached this text many times from different angles, and I love to ponder this text, and I just think it was a miraculous day and a holy moment to be there, to have been there with Jesus when this happened. John 6, beginning with the first verse through 15. Let's hear these words and listen for the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was drawing near, and when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? He said this to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, Well, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? And Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of green grass in the place. So they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, Gather up the fragments that are left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and seize him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord for people of faith. Thanks be to God. In every gospel, every one of the gospels, Andrew's name is mentioned in the list of the disciples. But Andrew is special to me because there's not much else told about him except the 2 things that we're going to share today. I'd like to begin with a story of a different Andrew from another place and another time. He was a junior high boy in one of my youth groups along the way. Andrew was one of the most lovable and the most annoying kids in the youth group. He came early and he stayed late, and it seemed like he never had a ride. When I would go an hour early to the church to get ready for a youth program, there he would be, following me around, asking me questions, pulling on my shirt tail. And sometimes I would sit down with him. But more often, I brushed him aside or gave him a little job to do to keep him busy and went on about my work. But one Sunday afternoon, Andrew was there, and as I often did, I'm confessing, I brushed him aside. I was busy. I had a deadline. I had things to do, and I was there early to get them done. But he was curious. He was always asking me questions, and he was, I guess, lonely, which is why he would arrive early. He was eager, and he was always challenging me about something. Yet he taught me patience, to look deeper beyond someone's actions, to slow down and pay attention to those around me, even when I'm busy. The Andrew I have to tell you about today may be just as surprising, just as annoying, and just as promising. Just as much a model that we might imitate, and one from whom we might learn. In every gospel, Andrew is mentioned in the list of the disciples. Matthew, Mark, and Luke pretty much agree on that list when it comes, especially the four sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. But John has the order a little bit different. John has a different perspective on a lot of things about Jesus. He gives us lots of stories that the others don't even mention. And he does give us different settings and different scenarios on the same old ones, the stories that they do share. This John 6 version of Jesus blessing the bread on the slope overlooking the Sea of Galilee is seemingly, for John, Jesus' Last Supper. The blessing of the bread and the cup. And this is for John, the only mention of feeding people in this way. And so, it is a sacramental day, even though it happens very early in John. The others record it near the end, in the last week of Jesus' life. Here on this hillside, Jesus is feeding people just the same. And I think it is sacramental. So John has the order a bit different, and that's okay. We get different perspectives by reading that. He gives us some stories, many in fact, that the others don't even mention. And he does give different settings and different scenarios on some of the same old stories, the ones that they do share. John, the gospel writer, the disciple, drew a strong link between John the Baptizer and Jesus. John the Baptist, we sometimes call him. That can be a little ambiguous. He was called the Baptist because he was the baptizer and baptized even Jesus. But John the Baptizer, who's been looking for the Messiah and proclaiming that the Messiah is coming, sees Jesus and says, "Look, now, here is the Lamb of God." Now, Andrew was one of John's disciples from earlier times. And Andrew and another, who is unnamed, heard and believed John and began to follow Jesus instead of John. That was probably a good decision. They went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that conversation that convinced them to follow Jesus? But before the day was out, Andrew left to find his brother. At this point, the other three Gospels simply name the people whom Jesus called without all this story, but I like the story. John, the Gospel writer, paints with brush strokes, broad brush strokes, instead of with pictures. Here Andrew runs, literally, to find his brother, Peter. You know Peter. You've heard more about Peter than you have about Andrew. Simon Peter, the rock, the great leader of the early church. Andrew finds Peter and brings Peter to Jesus. And you know the stories of Peter from recently. We talked about Pentecost, and Peter's the one who preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were added to the church. There were healing acts and other special miracles in the tradition, and the disciples all continued ministry in Jesus' name. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd. Sometimes when he arrived at a place, the crowd was already there. Maybe people were just eager to hear Jesus' words in those days. Maybe they didn't have anything else to do. Or maybe they were just hungry. Well, this occasion, they were hungry. It's hard to teach people when their stomachs are growling. The crowd of thousands were gathered there, literally thousands. It's interesting to pause here and note that there are some 6 different accounts of Jesus feeding the crowd, feeding a multitude. This John's version is probably the most dramatic. But in some places it says 3,000, some places 5,000. There were a lot of people there. And when it comes to planning a meal, it was even more than you can imagine. The disciples were puzzled. Jesus, how are we going to pay for this? Half a year's wages wouldn't be enough for each person to have just a little bite. That was Philip who raised that objection. But while Philip was complaining and worrying about it, Andrew was out working the crowd. And Andrew was focused on the possible rather than the impossible. Andrew found a boy who was willing to share his lunch, and he brought the boy to Jesus. Can you imagine the boy's response to what Jesus did with that little sack lunch? His eyes must have been bigger than the crowd. He was willing to share his idea with Andrew, which took faith. But as large as his faith was, his faith must have been dwarfed by the size of that crowd and the size of Jesus' miracle. Even Jesus knew that people don't listen well when their stomachs are growling. I praise Andrew for having the faith to believe that Jesus could take what a small boy offered and make it to be enough. Well, Andrew, isn't this what really matters? That you lead another person to Jesus, whether it's a boy with his lunch or your brother, Simon Peter, who would grow to be and become the leader of the early church. Most of you can probably name someone that you have led to Jesus. If you can't think of anyone, then I suggest you get started. Because it's not hard, and we have a Spirit to help us. We have a confidence and a hope that when we take the first step, the second step will come into place. If you can't think of anyone, then just open your eyes and ask. How's your faith? How's your confidence? How's your hope today? Just ask. Ask. When you genuinely ask people a question of how they're doing, they'll answer you. There's a sense in which the question is genuine, whereas the question, how's it going today? How's it going? How are you doing today? Is not really a sincere question. Though it may be meant to be, it's not received that way. And it's great, thank you. How are you? That's small talk, and it stays small. Unless we express that we really care. Each one of us is called to reach someone. And Andrew wasn't a major figure in the listings of disciples. He was nearly always listed early on. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Those are the common ones. They were Peter and Andrew, brothers. James and John were brothers. And so Andrew's name gets in there. But when you start searching for Andrew's stories, there aren't many. And the two that we have are precious. Bring a friend, bring a lunch. Bring a friend to Jesus. Bring a lunch and be ready to share it. When I say bring a friend, I'm talking about Andrew bringing his own brother, Peter. For he went and found his brother and shared the good news about Jesus. So, someone pointed the way to Jesus for you and walked with you. Who will you point the way for and walk and bring along on the journey? This is the word of the Lord for the people of faith.